Hallelujah. We're going to pick up a little bit where I left off last week. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 13. I don't want to rehash that message. You can go listen to it. It's online. Part that I want to highlight here at the beginning, I'll just begin reading in the first verse. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And today what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the things in God's plan that are static. When I say static, I'm talking about the things that are non-changing, the things that are going to be the same from here on out. Because there are parts of the plan, there's parts of God's plan that are non-changing. Then there's the place that you fit. Now, within a static plan, within an unchanging plan, there comes you and I. With all the decisions that we make, all the decisions that we've made in our past, before maybe we got saved, that's going to have an effect. The decisions that we make now, that's going to have an effect. And the decisions that we're going to make in the future. All those things are going to play a part in how we fit into the static plan. When I say static, turn to Ephesians. And the reason why I read this in Acts, this was the place, and Ephesians is going to be Ephesians chapter 1. This is the place we see Paul and Barnabas, where they have qualified for the calling out. And if you read, and we went through this last week, if you read from the beginning of Acts up to this point, what you're going to find is, particularly in the life of Paul, the way God worked through him after this point, much different than the preparation process. See, now he's stepping out into his calling, and his calling was, one, establish churches, two, establish doctrine, set the doctrine, you know, receive the doctrine, teach it to the people. What a calling. What a calling the man had. Well, we're going to talk about this later on. He had grace for his calling. Now, you may be sitting here, you may not have a fivefold ministry calling, but every single one of us, we have a calling. And that calling is another static thing. It's not going to change. We're going to look at scriptures that talk about that. So in Ephesians, I want to look at another aspect of the static part of God's plan, the unchanging part. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. We're going to stop right there. That word predestinated, don't be afraid of it. I know there's a lot of people that preach that predestinated, like there's some of them that's predestinated to go to heaven and others that are not. Well, that's a squirrely way of preaching it. That's not right. And if you ever notice, the people that preach that doctrine, they just happen to be the ones in the group going. I think that's very interesting. I don't think you'll ever find one that's preaching predestination and they're not part of the group. See, this is wrong doctrine. The predestination that he's talking about is from the foundation of the world, and he even alludes to this in the previous verse, of being chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Every person, man, woman, boy, or girl, that ever breathed the breath on this planet, from the beginning of time, the plan, the set in stone plan, has always been for you to be in his family. The set in stone plan has been, from the inception of the world, Jesus would have to go to the cross. His blood would have to wash us from our sins. We would have to be reborn into the family. Every person is predestinated to be in God's family. Now, does that mean every person will? No. But it was predetermined that that would be the plan. That's the set in stone, static part of the plan of God. Now then there's your calling, your place in the plan, your individual call. Let's look at a few scriptures, because that's something that's not going to change. Now you can write these down. You don't have to look up all of these. I'm going to just read these. I've got them written down here. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Whatever he's called you to do. That calling, whether it's fivefold ministry calling, the function that you have in the body of Christ, whatever that function is, it won't change from one day to the next. Oh, today I think I'm a preacher. Tomorrow I think I'm a salesman. I'll go sell cars. The next day I think I'll go do this. I think I'll go do that. That's not the way this works. Your calling, your vocation in the body of Christ, what you're supposed to do in the body of Christ, that's not going to change. Now, whether or not we discover what that is, whether or not we walk in one day of it, of being that person that he's called us to be, God won't make you. And that's some of the variable part. Our part of the equation. See, if you look in your mind, I want you to envision this. You have an equation. On one side of the equation, you have God's part. That's the part that's not going to ever change. That's the constant, if you will. On our side of this equation, that's variable part. That's the part that millions of decisions that we make all the time affect how we walk into this bigger plan. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, have you ever had God force you to spend an hour praying in tongues? No. The moment that you decide, I'm going to pray in tongues, that's the moment that you choose to empower the Holy Ghost to work the plan of God into your life, in you, through you. And we're going to find out that within that praying that you're doing, it's like there's a place being carved out into the bigger plan based on where you are at that given point in time. It bothered me. See, I'm the kind of person that when I get a hold of something, I don't just soon turn loose of it. And I had the idea for the longest time that there was nothing variable in this plan of God, that everything was cut and dried, that it was set in stone, my part in his plan. Now remember, his overall plan is never going to change. But my part in it will, based on my decisions. For example, in 1992, I made the decision to marry my wife. That was a good decision, I feel like. I like her. Sometimes she might not agree. But that was my choice. And just go look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and you'll find out. Now, I don't follow Paul's line of reasoning there, but those of you that know what he says in that verse, in that chapter, he's basically saying, be like I am. I'm not married. You don't need to be married, so just go do that. Well, if that's what you want to do, more power to you. But that plays into this. See, I got saved before I got married. Some of you haven't. I tell you what, I do have compassion for people who get saved after they have been married, especially for years and years and years, and they get saved because of how difficult that whole situation can be, particularly if you're on separate pages than your husband or wife. It doesn't alleviate the call and you responding to it. You're not free of it. But I can tell by what I see in people's lives that the difficulties associated with answering that call, man. I tell you, I have sympathy, I have compassion for anyone in that situation because it is difficult because of all the decisions that they made as a non-believer leading up to this point, and now they're saved. Now I have a call. There's a place in the body of Christ. I'm going to fulfill that. I hope that I didn't plan to go this direction, but I'm guessing it's for somebody. If you're in that place and you have an unbelieving spouse, your first place is believing for that spouse to come into the kingdom until they make it so impossible for you to serve the Lord that you can't go on, but see that person in the kingdom. I didn't mean to go there. I guess it's okay. Let me read some other verses regarding this call. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Second Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That sounds pretty good to me. So let me go back to how I started this. We saw the part of God's plan that's set in stone. Every person has been predetermined to be in his family without exclusion. You, when you said yes to Jesus, is what I'm going to just say it like this. When you said yes to Jesus and you were born again and you received your call, Your call will never change. I remember when I said yes, recognizing the call was there, the call to ministry for me, I just thought, well, I'll just go preach. Well, you know, after 20 years now, I've realized that that wasn't really the way to go about it. It took a while. It took a few years there at the beginning to really get it through my head that it wasn't about me trying to answer it in my own power. And whatever your calling is, it isn't about you trying to do it within your own power. It's not you trying to make it happen. You see, right now, the scripture that comes to me, and I thought I'd get to this later, but I guess we're going to get to it now. It's Romans chapter 12. So let's go there. So just so I'm clear about this, what I want to focus on today is our place, our position, our responsibility in doing what was written there in Peter, of making our calling and election sure. Our responsibility, because you have a responsibility in this matter. He doesn't make me preach. He doesn't make me pray. He doesn't make me do any of that. It's what I choose. Do I choose to spend time in prayer? Do I choose to spend time meditating the Word? Or do I choose to go and just live my life? And He will let you do whatever you want to do. Why is it so important right now? Because there's many of us that are at that point, like we saw in Acts 13, of that calling out. And I just want you to understand that. But you get to that place by doing the things that are taught here. Now you can get to that place quickly, or you can get to that place slowly, or you can never get to that place where He says, I'm separating you out into your calling. Come this way. If you decide to fall out of prayer for a couple of years, there's no plan being worked on your behalf. There's nothing that's being prayed through you by the Holy Ghost on your behalf. So you fall out of prayer for a few years. This was the part that got me, that I couldn't quite piece together. Because I did this. I did this myself. Prayed a lot. Fasted, prayed, worshiped, and then fell out of prayer. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. Prayed in tongues, hours, fasted. And then got to the place that I fell flat out of it. So here was my question after the fact. What was going on, Lord, with the plan? Well, see, that's the variable part of his plan. My part is the variable part. So here I was. Let's just pick a year. I don't know what year it was. Let's say 2003. Here Mark is, 2002, 2001. He's praying. He's growing. He's developing. He gets up to 2003, and all of a sudden, boom, no more praying. He just. What happens? You really decide not to pray because you decide to do something else. The devil doesn't knock you out. If he could knock you out, he'd knock us all out. You chose not to. You just chose to do something else with your time. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And that's what I did. So here I had prayed. I had worked God's plan through me, putting me in this place in His overall plan. And then I stop. And time goes by. And here I come back to developing a strong prayer life. So now I'm thinking to myself, what happened? What happened to from here to here? And where, you know, what happened in the plan? Your overall plan? Well, I want you to thank God for this, because He fits you back in to a unique place. And you just go on. You just go on. And that's good. I'm telling you what, that's real good. Because I want you to know that there are some people, they don't just fall out of prayer. They go into sin. I've watched. I'm telling you what, I've watched. I watched two people, and I'll just give you some Bobby and Susie, made up names. I watch Bobby and Susie, married couple, praying in tongues, loving the Lord, doing this message, family. I watched Bobby, he was stepping into ministry, and I watched his life disintegrate right in front of my eyes. Just flat disintegrate. What did he do? Well, he made the choice to stop praying in tongues. And he filled his time with other things. You can do that very easy. And before long, Susie found somebody else that she thought she loved more. And their marriage goes kaput. And Bobby still hasn't recovered. Now, let's just say, for example, with Bobby, that tomorrow he wakes up, he shakes the dust off of his out of his head, and he said, "Jesus, I repent. I repent." And he starts praying in tongues again. Now, here's what I thought for a long time. I thought, well, God, he can never do your perfect will. Because he had prayed your perfect will into existence back here with his family, in the church, doing all these things. And then he walked away from it. There's no way. Oh, yeah, there is. And that is the compassion of your Father that loves you. No matter what mistakes, even once you come into the body of Christ, no matter what it is, you can pray in tongues. And he can work you back into the plan. And you can fulfill your call and have his perfect will in your life. It is obtainable. It's possible. I didn't really understand that for the longest time. And I'm telling you what, it's possible. Now, let me go back to Susie. And this will just blow your mind. What I'm about to tell you about Susie. The one that Susie ran off with, they got married. Today, they're pillars in the church. Pillars in the church. You may say, well, that's not, no, that, no, no, yeah. The forgiveness of God, it goes beyond what your mind can think. About the time I think I got God figured out, he does something like that. It's like, I don't have you figured out, God. Because I sure wouldn't have done that. My forgiveness doesn't run that deep. His does. And I thank God for that. You gotta, when you see something like that, you gotta turn your little religious mind off, because it'll go tilt. It'll definitely go tilt. It'll say that person doesn't deserve it. We don't deserve it, any one of us. None of us deserve it. So let's talk a little bit more about this, our part. We're in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we're starting in verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, you could preach a whole message just on that one verse about being a living sacrifice. I mean, it's really hard just to get past that word sacrifice. Just being a sacrifice, living sacrifice. As I just was saying that right there, you know, we talk about being a martyr. We talk about the crown of the martyr in heaven. Debbie and I discussed this the other day. I'm kind of wondering this. This is just one of those questions that's rolling around inside of me. I wonder what kind of crown a person has that daily dies. You see, to martyr, where they just shoot me down, okay, then it's over with, and I get to go be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Dying daily. Putting that flesh that's still kicking and screaming, putting it down, putting it in its place. I'm telling you what, that, to me, I think there's got to be a crown for somebody doing that. That's kind of like a continuous martyrdom, if you want to think of it like that. All right, let's go on. Verse 2. Get away from that verse 1. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Now, and I've mentioned this several times, the conforming there is fashioned according to this world. Don't be that way. Well, I came into this fashioned according to this world. I did. You look at the world, you look at Mark, he's perfect replica of what the world produces. So I was conformed to it from the get-go. Now he says, be not that way. All right. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, I want you to look at that in your Bible, that you may prove, say I may prove, that you may prove. Now, I'm just going to add this part right here. That proving, if you take that word and just do a simple search, how it's used in the New Testament, that word proving talks about what they would do in that time period if they wanted to prove an oxen. Let's say they went out and bought somebody's oxen, the yoke oxen. They yoked them up. They're going to go prove that oxen. Well, what would you think in your mind that proving process would be about, if not to determine the capacity or the ability of this oxen? So what would they do, do you think? Well, I would guess they'd take it out and see just what it could do. How much could it move? What's the weight of it? All of this being done in a testing idea. I want to see how much you, I don't know how much you can do. These two yoke, I just bought them from Billy Bob down at the corner, used oxen lot. I don't know what they can do. Let's hook them up and let's prove them. Let's just see what these things can do. That you may prove. Now look at it in that context. If we take that same idea of you proving what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, for the longest time, folks, I had this impression that, like I said, the plan of God for me was a cut, dried, set in stone thing. That proving process right there denotes a testing. It doesn't talk about there is a cut and dried, set in stone way that you walk this out. There is a proving, a testing on our part. And what is it based on? Well, it's based on what we already read in that verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be thou transformed by the renewing of our mind. That renewing process, that we take the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we pray in tongues, and as a result of that, a transformation, now follow me on this, transformation takes place. In where? In our soul. The transformation of our soul. What's our soul? Mind, will, emotions, intellect. I really want to look at the will. It doesn't say, it says the transformation of your soul. It doesn't say that your will gets completely obliterated. Does it say that? No. Your will is your will. And God has paid a very high price for you to have your choices in this world. Very high price. For you to be able to say yes to Him. Not from coercion. Not because He made you do something. Because you chose. I choose you. That's true love. But see, when Mark came into this, I was the epitome of what the world would produce. Went to college. Had a degree. Had a job making good money. All I cared about was money. All I cared about was Mark. And now here I am. Now look at that. I had at that moment really no desire whatsoever to preach. And yet, someone had just told me, you're going to preach. You're called to preach. What? Can I make money doing that? Well, some people do. Can I do this? It was all about me still. Why? Because I was still conformed to the world. My will at that moment was a will that was solely rooted in my flesh and the desires of the flesh and appeasing my flesh. Now, there needs to be a change. And it's not a change where God says, Mark, this is my will. Mark, this is God speaking. Mark, this is my will right here, and I'm going to stick it inside of you. You don't have any choice about it. Don't worry. It's not going to hurt. That way you'll do what I want you to do, Mark. Now, that doesn't fit. I'm sorry. It just doesn't fit. If he worked so hard for me to maintain my will, which he did, the right for me to choose, how far into God I go is my choice. He wanted us to have that choice. He wanted us to be able to exercise our will. To take that away from us now? Are you kidding me? It doesn't fit. What he wants to do is to transform our will. And how that happens is because we go through the process of renewing our mind. And a transformation process happens. Is it automatic? No. Is there still parts of my will that wants to go according to the flesh? Yes. That's yet to be transformed. That's ground yet to be taken over. But to say that God just overrides my will, I mean, we sing songs that way, but those songs aren't true. I'm sorry, they're just not true. That's not God. What God wants is for me, Mark, to decide to pray. Mark, will you pray? Yes, I'll pray. Okay. Mark, will you read the Bible? Okay, I'll read the Bible. Thank you. Mark, will you confess? Okay, I'll confess. Every time it's my choice. But every time that happens, more transformation happens. And that transformation is affecting my will. The will that originally was lock, stock, and barrel tied to my flesh has gradually begun through the transformation process. Is it all transformed? No, there's still parts of me that wants to do what Mark wants to do. That part's not been transformed. But there's part that has been. And that part that's gone through this transformation process is in agreement with my reborn human spirit. So as I pray in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is allowed to pray the perfect prayer through me, as that happens, what he's able to do is to work my place into the static plan of God. And not only that, but he's able to birth within my spirit the desire to walk that way. And that desire is feeding this transformed part of my soul that says, oh, okay, I'll go do that. Where's the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Now, it doesn't alleviate if he wants to say something to you along the way as you're following the desire that's coming up inside of you. He may say, don't go there. Okay, I won't. But it doesn't mean that I need to sit still and do nothing. There's a desire. First, I'm praying. First, you're praying. Where we started at in Acts 13. That's the point where the calling out was made. There was years in Paul's life leading up to that moment. You notice it didn't happen right after he got saved. There was years there. During that time period, I've tried to do the math. I think I'm pretty accurate. I think that what you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about there was a man in Christ 14 years ago, I believe it was in this time period between the moment that he left Jerusalem and Barnabas came and got him when he was in Tarsus. During that segment of time right there, he had a visitation where he went to heaven and he received the understanding of what he was about to preach. Once he got to the calling out portion, the man was ready to be called out. He was ready to share what he had received. So there's this preparation time. And I know that for most of us, we've gone through this. We're going through this. We're some stage of it. The variable part is, how much time are you going to invest in the preparation to that point where he can say, now you've qualified for a higher level of responsibility? Because that's the call. Stepping into a higher level of responsibility. It's not more glory to yourself. That's what you go through in the preparation process, putting that stuff to death. Wanting to go your own way dies in the preparation process. Wanting to do your own thing dies in the preparation process. By the time you get here to the calling out part, those things should be dealt with. Now, I'm not going to say they're totally dead. You can also bring them back to life if you want to. You can still go do your own things. I've watched people do that. So I know you can. So even after you get called out, you still have to stay in that mode of praying in tongues and enabling him to continue to work the plan in your place in the bigger plan of God. But it's all about your choices, your decisions, how you want to spend your time. Do you want to watch TV? Watch TV. Do you want to spend your time doing things that don't produce a spiritual change? Do them. There's not a guilt trip here. I'm not guilting you if you watch TV, if you go to movies, if you do anything. I'm not guilting you. I think we all need to have some relaxation. I think we all need to have some time. But if you don't put limits to it, if you don't know, if you still let your flesh control you, you're not going to get past the preparation stage to the point where he can say, I can trust you with a greater responsibility. And I know you want that. That's why you're here, many of you, to learn about how do I answer this calling? How do I go through this preparation process? How do I get my will to line up with what he wants me? I want my want to match his want to. Show me how to do that. I can tell you today, I want to do what I'm doing. Can you tell? I love this. Now, 20 years ago, that wasn't there. I loved to make money. I loved to have money. I loved it. So my love, my want, my desire had to change. This is the mechanism for doing just that. You can have that desire changed on the inside of you, and it's within your grasp. It's within your hands to do that. So if you're saying to yourself, I'm hearing what he's saying, I don't like where I'm at right now, I know this isn't where I'm supposed to be at, you have the tools to change that. Because once you get to this place of calling out, what you'll find inside of you is that what you love to do is what he wants you to do. I hear people all the time. I grew up with somebody that said this all the time. I hate my job. I hate what I do. And hated it for 40 years. 40. Now I want you to think about that. How much of their life did they expend? Most of it in that 40 years. I think probably at some point there was, maybe at the beginning, they did like it a little bit. But over the years, they just hated it. Hated it. All they could think about was, I can't wait till I leave this place and I'm retired. And that's how you want to spend your life? I don't. And yet, that's the way I would say the majority of people live. They just do it because they know they have to. There's a better way. Why don't you do it because you want to do it? Why don't you do it because it's the thing that you can't see around on the inside of you? Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want to ask you something. That person I told you about, I know that person. I know that person's a Christian. And I know what they've done 40 years they hated. So if I look at that verse and say that it's just, that's just automatic. God just automatically does that, to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's just automatic. No, it's not automatic. I've not really found anything in the kingdom of God that's automatic without me first choosing to do it. Now once I choose to pray in tongues, then the results, they're automatic. But first comes your choice. You choose. You choose. Do you want to pray? Praise God. Do you want to fast? Praise God. Do you want to confess the word? Praise God. All those things bringing about the transformation, your will coming in line with the desire that he has for your life. The will of God. It's like when we pray, a tree on the inside of us, growing up inside of us. Now, it's not God's will, really. It's our will. It's our desire that's coming in line with his. But it's growing up inside of us like a tree to the point that you can't see around. I can't see today doing anything but preaching the gospel. I can't see anything other than that. Now, could I say that 20 years ago? Absolutely not. But I can today. Why? Because I have transformed in my soul. Because I've been in the process continually, not continually, off and on, as a matter of fact, renewing my mind. And that transformation gradually has brought me to the place where today, that tree inside of me, I can't see around it. I can't see anything else. You know, somebody could ask me when the finances maybe are tight. They could come up and say, well, you're going to have to go get a job. Are you kidding me? No. I don't see anything else but this. Nothing else but this. This because why, Mike? Because this is what he called me to do. To preach. I don't know what your calling is, but I can tell you this. It won't change. That's static. It will not change. Now, how you fit into it, that's going to change based on the decisions that you make. Are you going to spend time, a concerted effort, praying and developing spiritually? Then you're going to fit more quickly into that place of being called out than what you would if you just did it a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, you say, well, Mark, I want to get into this. Well, it's up to you. No, I'm going to go stand in front of somebody and they're going to prophesy over me, and then I'm going to have my call, and then I'll go do it. Oh, really? How many times do you think I've been prophesied over? And did any of those words affect a change in Mark? It encouraged me. It helped me to realize, particularly early on, I'm called. Okay, I got it. I've heard it enough. I got that. You don't have to say it again. Somebody else come running up to me. Oh, let me prophesy over you. Oh, brother, you got a mighty call. Okay, I got that. That does nothing to affect a change in me to answer the call. Can I hear an amen? That's my choice. However much time I invest, I invest. However much time I don't invest, it's not investing. And I can do whatever I want. Hey, God loves us. He lets us do whatever we want to do. You want to waste your life? Waste your life. Nobody in here wants to. I know that. That's why you're here. But for somebody that they don't really care, bless God, He'll love them. They can come into the kingdom. He'll love them. But when He stands there and looks in your eyes, in that one look, in that one moment, when all the years that you drew a breath on this planet gets measured in a scale, and you look at Him, and you will stand accountable for what you did with that call. Did you steward it? Were you faithful to steward this call? And all of eternity after that, I truly believe your experience in eternity is going to be affected by what happens in that moment. Well, I don't know about you. When that moment comes, I just as soon be able to look at Him and say, I did everything that I could do. That I spent my time the way I knew to spend my time. Because see, that's all that's going to matter right then. That's all that's going to matter. It's not going to matter how much of your life you live for your family. I'm not saying in that to neglect your family, but to choose them instead of your call is not an option. Not an option. You say, Mark, I made choices along the way. I know we have. And rest assured that whatever place you're at in your life when you're praying in tongues, God accounts for those decisions. If you have reproduced a house full of kids, within that plan, He has accounted for that so that you can fulfill your call without neglecting your family, but you still have the responsibility for going through the qualification process. I don't know what shape it'll take or what form it'll take. That's between you and God. But just because you have made these decisions in your life along the way and then you get saved, it's like, I can't do anything for you. Look at all this responsibility I have. That doesn't alleviate you of the responsibility of answering the call of God on your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? God will provide for them, but you still have to answer it. Well, my spouse hates Jesus. He hates everything as long as he is not stopping you, forbidding you, hurting you. Stay there. Focus on that man's salvation or that woman's salvation. But continue in the process of going through the change, believing that one day this person is going to join you in serving Jesus together, fulfilling the call of both of you in the kingdom. What am I saying? Don't look for excuses. There's no excuses. No excuses. He's made a way for us that's so perfect that we can pray, transform, and our will can line up with His, and we can follow that desire inside of us and trust. And you say, well, wait a minute. Sometimes I'm confused on what's God's desire, what's my desire. There's the proving right there that I talked about. The transformation process will reveal to you what is the plan of God. You transform because your mind's being renewed. Your will's lining up with His. You're going to be able to differentiate. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That discerning of which, okay, what part of it, what part of what I'm wanting to do right now is still that untransformed part of my soul? The will of God, or the Word of God will show you that. And you'll see that. And it'll be like a light shining in there. No, that part right there, that's not me. That's still you, Mark. Okay, well, what about doing this right here? Okay, that lines up. I have peace inside. I'm walking according to the desire that's developed inside of me. There's peace there along the way. Yes, I'm going to hear a word. Yes, I'm going to have a sense of direction. But it's coming to me, listen to me as I close, as I'm walking. I heard this years ago, and it still holds true. It's hard to steer a car that's idle. It is. I do not believe God.